Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I want you to read along, and I want you to pay very close attention when we get started here, all right? So I want you to pay very close attention. So follow along word for word as I read, if you would, please. You don't have to read out loud, but follow along word for word. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense? In abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wheresoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I have suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Now, Father, thank you for the word of God that we read today. And I just pray, Lord, that you would work in every person here. Help us to see something that we need to see. Help us to learn something that we need to learn. Lord, we thank you for all that you've given and all that you provided. We just pray you'd bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's the little exercise we're going to do. As we read that, did a Bible verse stand out to you? And if so, which one? So anybody said, when I read that, there was a Bible verse that stood out to me. Raise your hand. All right, I got one hand raised. All right, brother, what verse stood out to you?
Number 8.
Verse 8, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. All right. You care to elaborate on that any as to what that... Okay. All right, well, see, that's a good thing. He read something, and now he's got a question about it. He's got, okay, what does he mean by robbing other churches? And I believe what you're going to find as you look up and study it, you're going to find, in other words, where they should have been helping him, he depended on other churches. He didn't take anything from them. He depended on other churches to help him. In other words, so other churches supported him so he could minister to them.
Who were not supporting him.
And who were not supporting him, exactly, even though they were a well-established church. And so I believe that's what you're going to find on that. But that's the thing. You see, and this is the thing. When you read God's Word, you should see something. Something should stand out. Whether it's a question or whether it's a blessing. Sometimes I read something and it's a blessing to me. I get something from it. And if you don't, you're not doing it right. You're not paying attention. You're not thinking. You're kind of just going through the motions. And I would dare say that most of you that followed along, you spent more time listening to me than reading what was being said. So I'm just trying to challenge you a little bit here. But you know, we started out in the message today, and in the morning service, and we had Paul writing to the Philippians from prison in Rome. And we see in that first chapter where he said, "For to me to live is Christ." And I kind of want to go through that same theme that he talked about, and I want to kind of go through that. And I chose this chapter primarily for this reason, because I want you to look at this. Paul is dealing with a bunch of whiny baby Christians. He's dealing with a bunch of people who he had to correct numerous times. He had to rebuke them for some things that were pretty heinous. He had to rebuke them for some things that were just childish. He had to rebuke them for looking at and being followers of men instead of followers of Christ, and having all these factions and divisions among themselves and schisms and things like that. He had to rebuke them for those things, and he's talking to them, and he says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." By the way, when we look to the morning service, the morning Sunday school, we talked about anger in a godly way and an ungodly way to have anger. There's a godly way and an ungodly way of jealousy. God is a jealous God, is he not? Most people, when they get jealous, they act a fool. And Paul says he's jealous over them with godly jealousy. That means he wants the very best for them. It's not selfish. God's jealousy is not selfish. God knows that if we worship any other god, it will destroy us. His jealousy is for us, not for himself. Somebody asked me one time, what is God on a power trip? No, he's not on a power trip. He is power. Amen. But he loves you and cares for you. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. He said, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then he talks about another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And he says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with them. In other words, he's saying, I'm worried about you because you seem to gravitate toward men, and somebody comes in, and that's, by the way, that's the way the culture is today and a lot of what's called Christian today. Everybody who comes out with a new book and a new preacher and a new this and a new that, they're all the rage. Right? Everybody who comes out with some new thing, everybody runs to it. Oh, how do I go down the list? Promise keepers. The purpose-driven church. Go down the list of TV preachers and Joel Osteen, Joseph Prince, go down the list of everybody. Everybody just goes crazy over all these people. They act as if there wasn't a Bible before these people showed up. And he says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. In other words, you know who we are. You've seen us. You've seen us in action. You've seen how we live. And he says, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. In other words, he said, hey, I didn't ask anything from you. I just gave. I just ministered. I didn't ask you to minister to me. I just ministered. I left it to your conscience whether or not you ministered. And when you did minister, I didn't complain. I just trusted the Lord. Other churches stepped up and helped me. Now think about this. Now let's go back to the morning service, for to me, to live is Christ. Let's take a look at this man who said those words. Here he is dealing with a church that ought to be helping him, but doesn't bother trying to help him. Sound like the rain just set in. This church is not helping him. They're causing him trouble. They're following after everybody who comes along, every new preacher that comes along. And think about this for a second. Think about this for a second. What the Apostle Paul was giving them was the inspired Word of God. And they're running after other people. I mean, think about it. They were getting the Word of God for the first time. And they were getting it direct. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was literally, I say we have a message from heaven. It was literally a message from heaven that they were getting. It wasn't just one preacher reading and expounding upon the message from heaven. They were getting it for the first time and turning their ear away from it. Wow. But he was dealing with that. He was dealing with their childlessness, their foolishness. And he mentioned that. He said over in verse 28, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He cared for these people. He cared about their soul. He cared about their walk with Christ. He cared what happened to them. And not just the church that he was there at, but the churches that he had already established. He spent time in prayer for them. We see him in Philippians in jail saying, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Boy, and he's putting up with a bunch of Christians that should be thanking him, but he's got to stand up and justify himself to them. He's got to remind them who actually sacrificed for them. He's got to remind them who actually cared for them. Not just cared what they could give him. He told them, he said, you suffer if a man bring you into bondage. If a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. He said, you have preachers come in here and they just treat you bad. And you're mad at me. They treat you bad and you're bad talking me. I've never treated you bad. And he still did right, didn't he? He didn't get mad and take his ball and go home. He tried to reason with them. He tried to make them think, make them understand that he truly cared about them. He told them that he cared. He told them that he loved them. And he talks about that. And he asked them, he said, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. In other words, those ones that are exalting themselves, they're going to seem to be what they are. And he says, they're false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, they want the glory, but they don't want any of the labor or the burden or anything that goes with it. They want to exalt themselves. They don't want to exalt Christ. And he says, no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. But then we get down to, we look at that and we see him dealing with all of this and still see him being a Christian, but then you look at his life and think about who the Apostle Paul is. Think about who he is. Think about him. This morning we read he was in Rome. But now we get into the rest of his life that he wouldn't have mentioned if he didn't have to justify himself before these people who he shouldn't have had to justify himself anyway. But look at what he says. He says, well, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. They're coming in bragging that they're Jews and bragging this and everything like that. They know everybody. You were taught originally by a Jew. If that matters to you that much. Obviously these people coming in and say, well, you know, you're Gentiles, we're Jews, so we know. And taking advantage of them. Because Paul didn't take advantage of them, they looked down on him for some reason. It's kind of stupid. That's the way people are. People, have you ever noticed that people get kind of stupid? You ever know that every one of us, if we're not careful, we're capable of doing some really stupid things and thinking some really stupid ways? And no wonder God calls us sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And he says this. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I am more. I speak as a fool, but he says, I am more. And labors more abundant, and stripes more above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. So I've had my life threatened. I've been to jail. I've had my life threatened and been in prison, and I've been beaten, and I've been had to work hard and labor. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Then he said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. It means five times he was beaten with 39 stripes. How many of you would continue serving the Lord if you got hauled out of here and had a whip put on your back 39 times? Just for being a Christian. And then they say, thrice I was beaten with rods. So I take that as eight beatings. Once was I stoned. Remember, he was stoned and left for dead. I suffered, he said, three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. I've been out to sea and been in a shipwreck three times, and one time spent a whole day and night in the ocean with sharks and cold and everything else. Would you still say to live is Christ? And to die is gain. In journeyings often, having to travel around, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He says, there's danger on every side. And where I go, I'm in danger from something. While we go home and lock the door and sleep tight, not expecting, you know, we're not expecting somebody to kick our door in, because it doesn't happen very often. We hear about it, read it on the news, but it, you know, we never think it's going to happen to us. We hear about it, but we don't expect it to happen, do we? We don't go to bed saying, boy, I need to check the door, make sure it's locked. I need to go around, check all my windows, make sure they're locked. I need to have my gun ready. Most people don't live that way. Then he says, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. I had to stay out and sleep places where it was cold. I had to go without meals. Boy, there's a tough one for us, isn't it? Skip them meals, boy. All right, all bets are off now. And watchings and fastings, having to stay awake and having to pray in cold and nakedness. And then he says, beside those things that are without, then he's the burden of the churches, the care of the churches, the prayer, the concern for each one of those people. Now, if you had to face everything that the Apostle Paul faced in order to live a Christian life, would you be with him in prison saying, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain? dare say we have a lot easier row to hoe when it comes to living for Christ than he did. And many of our brethren. He said, in perils by robbers, right? The Knapp family's driving down this week or last week to Mexico. I hadn't heard whether they made it or not. But they're driving, and what do they pray? They pray that we would be that they would be protected from the cartels and the different thugs and thieves and bandits and everything down there, right? They're actually trying to get where God wants them to go, and they're praying for protection because they actually have to be concerned with that. Because it happens quite frequently there. And we're importing it, but it happens frequently there. But we don't have that problem yet, do we? No, most of that is concentrated in the big cities, right? We're fortunate, at least at this point. Doesn't mean there aren't bad things that happen, but just that by and large, as the average Christian in the United States, we don't have to worry about anything like that. We're not worried about people doing things like that. But if you did, would you say, for to me to live as Christ and die as gain? You know, I've said before in many a message that I've preached both here and other churches, and I've asked the question. I said, would you die for the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know, I've yet to have a time I've asked that question. I'd say, raise your hand if you would give your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You would die for Him. And almost every hand without fail will go up in the church. And then my next question is this. What's the next question? Will you live for Him? You see, it's easy for us to say we would die because we're talking on hypotheticals. But you should die for Christ. You should. Brother Moses did. He died according to the word of the Lord, did he not? His eye was not dim when he was 120 years old, and his natural force was not abated. God said, Moses, time to die. He said, yes, sir. Amen, Lord. And he died there according to the word of the Lord. He was in perfect health and he died. Because God said, it's time's up. I just want you to think about it. Think about all that Paul did. All that he suffered. And yet he still said what? For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. I'm happy either way. Kind of interesting story I read one time, and I cannot remember the fellow's name, but he had actually got blown overboard off the ship, and he was in the water, and he was a young Christian. He hadn't been saved very long, but he had read that verse, and he was just sitting there thinking. As he was sitting there struggling for his life, he just finally quit. And he said it just went over in his mind again and again, to die is gain, to die is gain, to die is gain. But every time he'd say, to die is gain, the thought would hit his mind, to live is Christ. And finally, when he said, to live is Christ, he looked up and all of a sudden there was a boat and they were coming to rescue him. I wish I could remember his name. Some years ago I read the story. I wish I could remember the name. But that's the story he told. He was in there. He thought he was going to drown. He was kept saying, to die is gain, to die is gain. And every time he'd say, to die is gain, it'd pop in his mind, to live is Christ. And he got up and he went on and had a successful ministry, I believe, is the way the story goes. But the bottom line is there's so many things like that. There's stories like that by the dozens that we could talk about throughout history, by the hundreds probably, by the thousands, maybe even by the millions. I don't know, or of people who God's dealt with their life. But you know, the people that make a difference are the people that, regardless of their circumstances, they say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And the more you live for Christ, the greater the gain, right? The greater the reward, the greater the blessing, the greater the rejoicing. You know, we talk about the different crowns. A lot of people have preached on the different crowns. You know, the crown of life and the crown of righteousness and the crown of rejoicing, which they call the soul winner's crown. Right? That crown of rejoicing. The more you live for Christ, the more rejoicing you get to do in heaven. To live is Christ. I just want to challenge you with that. I want you to think about it. I want you to study. And when you read the Bible, something ought to stand out to you. It really ought to. You ought to just keep reading until something stands out. If you read the Bible and nothing stands out, then keep reading until something does. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't read the Bible just to check off a box. I read the Bible because I want to get something out of it. So if I can get anything out of it, I think I need to keep reading. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the service this day. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for providing for our needs. And Lord, help us teach us that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Help us that not to be just a Bible verse that we quote. Help it to be our lives, we pray. Bless us as we go. Bring us safely back together on Wednesday night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.